You're listening to the Fantasy Football Astronauts.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Astronauts podcast. This is your host, Daniel Harms. You can find me on Twitter, TikTok, rgrfootball.com. Twitter, TikTok is inharmsway19, pretty much anywhere that has an at. That's what it's going to be. Today, I have a very special guest with me today. He's known for his viral tweets on Twitter, taking another one today. Right now, it's at 28,000 plus likes. Dave Kluge, fantasy football analyst of Football Guys. You can find him on Twitter at Dave Kluge. How you doing, man?
Doing great, man. Keep it really nice and easy for everybody. At Dave Kluge, doesn't get easier than that. Kluge. You can find everything I'm doing there. If I'm guesting on shows, my own content, whatever it may be. Twitter's my home base and the easiest spot to find all my content.
It is the best place to find everything. So let's hope it sticks around for a little bit longer, huh?
That's just fingers crossed.
We just kind of wake up one day and Twitter decides that it's going to shut down. That'd be awesome for everyone that creates content everywhere.
Right.
But enough of the doom and gloom that could happen with Twitter. Let's talk about things that are happening this week, things that are going to happen around the NFL. I want to ask you something, because this is something, a topic of discussion really over the last probably four or five years. How big of an advantage is drafting Travis Kelce in the first round, Ben? And how do you prioritize that depending on where your draft slot is? I know a lot of people have gone back and forth saying, I don't care about it. I'm not going to take a tight end in the first round. But there's the argument to always draft Travis Kelce if he's available after like pick four should pretty much be the topic of discussion. So I want to hear what you think about this whole thing.
I mean, I don't even know if you should wait until pick four at this point. I mean, like right now, you'd rather have Travis Kelce than just about everybody that went early, besides maybe Justin Jefferson. But I think you can make an argument right now. Travis Kelce is outscoring Justin Jefferson in per game points. I mean, the only people that are outscoring Travis Kelce are Austin Eckler, Cooper Kupp, who is now presumed to be out for the season, and Stephon Diggs, who's been as steady as they come. Stephon Diggs and Kelce were getting drafted around the same spot. But the thing is, you're playing Stephon Diggs at a position where you're starting probably three wide receivers in a flex spot. Kelce with that standalone positional value at a tight end. I mean, you could make a realistic argument that he needs to be the 101 next year. And I mean, he's already defined the odds. Going into this season, you know, I don't want to say I faded Kelce, but I didn't think that there was a huge difference between Kelce and Andrews. So I was okay passing on Kelce, getting Andrews in the next round. And Andrews has been great, but still not even remotely close to what Kelsey's doing. I looked at it today. Travis Kelce's production is basically the equivalent of having TJ Hockenson and David Njoku, two players combined into one spot that you can play at your tight end. I mean, it's just unbelievable what he's doing. No tight end over the age of 32 has ever eclipsed 1,000 yards, and Travis Kelce's on pace to do it by week 13. So he's going to have room to spare. Not only is he going to be the first person ever to do it, but he is going to smash the record. I mean, we're just witnessing greatness at this point, and as much as I want to try to project that, you know, he's going to fall off the age cliff or whatever it may be, I think he's just got to keep riding it at this point, and I will not be making this mistake again next year. He will be a first-round pick for me.
It's kind of crazy because last year, as a guy who watches Chiefs, a lot of Chiefs football, like that's my team, it's my content, it's what I do on the side of fantasy football. Like it's hard to realize what he was going to have this season coming in. You know, defenses, okay, we don't have to worry about Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. We get to focus on Travis Kelce. Also, he was beat up so much last year. He was just continuously manhandled from at the line of scrimmage. Teams were just being physical with him. This year, you're still seeing a little bit of that, but the Chiefs, you know, Andy Reid's like, okay, we're not going to do this anymore. We're going to get you on some nice little rub routes. We're going to get you off the line of scrimmage. We're going to get you in positions against man coverage, because now teams are starting to play more man coverage with less Tyreek Hill. You're seeing that a lot more. You can do so many more pick plays. Like I'm going to have some clips up tomorrow on rgrfootball.com talking specifically about how they can line up Travis Kelce and get him one-on-ones and easy catches into space. And the touchdowns. The touchdowns this year have been astronomical. Obviously, he's got a game with four. Last week, he scored three. This is something that I didn't expect from Travis Kelce, especially without Tyreek Hill. So he is 33 years old. How long? I know you said you're not trying to project, but this is one of those Derrick Henry-esque type of things. Is the cliff going to come? Like, we don't really know what's going to happen with Travis Kelce. And if you watch him this year, he looks to be in – I know that this is a huge thing everyone talks about in the offseason, but right now, looks like he's in the best shape of his career at 33 years old. I don't know how much longer he can do it, but do you see a realistic possibility we're talking 2-3 years from now that he could still be doing this and having be the number one dynasty tight end?
I mean, you know, I talked about how nobody has eclipsed 1,000 yards past age 32, but there have still been some strong tight end seasons. And I think the one person that you can kind of compare him to, another fellow Chief, Tony Gonzalez, obviously finished his career in Atlanta, but Tony Gonzalez went all pro at 36 years old. And, you know, he didn't hit the 1,000-yard mark, but if you look at those final few seasons at, you know, from age 33 to 37, he was putting up 800 to 900 yards every single season. So we might not see this massive positional advantage where, you know, you can bank on Kelsey for pretty much 80 yards and a touchdown on average every single week. We might not see that for the next 4, 5, 6 years, but he's not going to suddenly just fall off the age cliff and disappear. I mean, realistically, the age cliff has already been there and he's just hang gliding off of it and still maintaining his momentum. So, you know, it's so tough in Dynasty. I actually only had one share of Travis Kelce in Dynasty. I traded him last offseason because I wanted to get out before the wheels fell off. And who would have thought that a guy going into his age 33 season would actually appreciate in value? But that's exactly what's happening right now. So I don't know. It's impossible to project going forward, but he has been the tight end one in 6 of the last 7 years. The 1 year that he wasn't, he was the tight end two. He's on his pace to do it again this year. You know, I feel like we just can't get too cute with it. We've seen a lot of tight ends play well into their 30s. No reason to expect that Travis Kelce can't do the same.
I'm with you. I love it. I think that he's going to be great. I think he's got at least 4 or 5 more, like, really good years. Maybe he hits a little bit after that. But the way that they're using him and with Patrick Mahomes, I mean, I won't rule anything out. Now we get to write into our Thanksgiving slate. Everybody, please make sure you have a safe, happy Thanksgiving. Have a lot of fun this weekend this week with your family. And we get to watch 3 games on Thursday, as it always is. Do you have any game that you're like looking at and trying to line up some of your fantasy matchups to say, look, I can get a good amount of exposure in this game, maybe not so much in the other ones, but do you have any games that you're looking forward to that specifically you think can be fantasy friendly?
I think the Bills Lions game is going to be an absolute shootout. I mean, in a dome, the Bills defense hasn't been great the last few weeks, and we know that the Lions offense is just a sieve. They'll let anything through there. So we're looking at two high-powered offenses playing in a dome. I think that's a game that can, you know, hit easily a 60, 70, 80 point total. So I'm excited for that one from a fantasy purpose. But I think the thing that I'm going to be paying most attention to on Thanksgiving, and it's kind of the same situation, but in each game specifically, there's some muddled running back rooms that you'd think, you know, now heading into week 12, we'd have a little bit more clarity. But we're looking at DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams. And Jamal Williams has basically been the RB1 this season. And I don't think anybody expected that. You know, we got the A-back comment last offseason, and everybody went crazy with that. And DeAndre Swift ended up being the guy. But now Jamal Williams is getting the red line or the red zone touches. He's just out touching him, out snapping him. And I mean, DeAndre Swift has been rendered pretty much useless in fantasy right now. So you got that situation to watch in Detroit. You've also got Tony Pollard, who has been the RB1 over the last 5 weeks, playing some of the best football we've seen in recent years. But you've also got Ezekiel Elliott with this big hefty contract, and he's not going to suddenly disappear. They each scored twice last week. So how is that backfield going to shake out? And then even in New England, it looked like Ramondre Stevenson had run away with the job. And then last week, Damien Harris came out, looked like the much better running back, was graded as PFF's third overall running back, and just, you know, was much more efficient and looked like a better runner than Ramondre Stevenson. So we got three situations that we don't really know what to make of yet. You know, we're probably past trade deadlines at this point. So if you're holding on to DeAndre Swift, Jamal Williams, Ramondre Stevenson, Damien Pierce, Ezekiel Elliott, Tony Pollard, hopefully we can get a little bit more clarity on Thursday about what this backfield can look like for the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic for the running backs because I don't know if it's just those guys. I think Buffalo is showcasing James Cook more right now too. And I think that, you know, Devin Singletary's been fine. He's been a very good back, but they are clearly looking for explosivity from the running back position. And honestly, like I went back and I watched James Cook last week. He looked pretty good. He was not just, you know, being a guy getting to the outside. They were running him like the Cowboys have run Tony Pollard recently, in between the tackles and letting him get upfield and utilizing him in some ways to get the most out of not just him, but the running game to open up more of the passing game for that offense. So I'm interested about not even just the Pollard situation, who, by the way, has not just improved as an RB1 as a fantasy player, but his utilization and his vision in between the tackles has improved each week since he's basically been the guy. So that's something I'm really looking forward to, because I don't think that Ezekiel Elliott should just be always out there anymore. Like, I think that that cliff for him is here and it's gone. He is not going to be a very fantasy relevant player, except, you know, he's going to score 2 touchdowns on vulture touches every single week, it seems like. But that offensive line is doing a great job. So the game that I'm really looking forward to seeing is really both Buffalo and the Cowboys games are huge point spreads. Buffalo is favored by 10. Cowboys are favored by 9.5, essentially 10 points against the Giants. Then you have the New England Patriots and the Minnesota Vikings. This is a very weird game. And it's the night game. And honestly, I don't know if I'm concerned more about the Patriots offense against really a well-coached Minnesota Vikings defense, or this is Kirk Cousins, again, prime time against a Bill Belichick defense. That spells absolute disaster for me and anybody thinking they could get some fantasy use out of Justin Jefferson. I think he's going to have one of the worst weeks he's had this coming Thanksgiving, and I don't wish that upon anybody, but you look at the history of not just Bill Belichick taking away number one receivers, but of Kirk Cousins in prime time. It's not a good matchup for them. The reason I'm like interested about it is because I think that you could look at, like you talked about the running backs. This, for me, this is a week that I'd like to see Mac Jones take a little step forward. I think against the Jets, he showed that they could accumulate passing yards through the air. He was on time. He looked more comfortable than he did before the bye. And while the Vikings do have some weapons on defense, their defensive line, they have some corners. You know, Patrick Peterson's aging, but really, really smart player. They're well coached and they seem to be in good positions. I want to see him, you know, expose a little bit of the defense that the Cowboys did last week. So the over under for that game is 42.5. I don't necessarily think that's a bad one at all. I think it could easily be under, but I'm definitely watching that game. Are you staying away from the Giants Cowboys game at all, like in terms of watching or having?
I'm gonna watch them all. The NFL could switch their schedule up and do, you know, Friday night games in the middle of summer, and I'd still be watching two winless games. Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna watch every single game, so there's no games that I'm really avoiding. But just back to what you were saying about Justin Jefferson, I mean, I will say it, I think Justin Jefferson is the best wide receiver in the league. You know, I think Cooper Kupp's utilization, you know, gives him an edge in fantasy possibly, but talking pure skill, I don't know if there's a better player than Justin Jefferson. But it is kind of wild how he has been erased now from three games this season. Yeah. I mean, you don't see that with, you know, these world beaters, these elite talents like Justin Jefferson. And we've seen it now against Philadelphia. He had a 48-yard game where he was bracketed by Slay. We saw it against Detroit the very next week where he had 14 yards against Cuda. Then just last week, 33 yards against Dallas. So it's just bizarre that this guy, you know, you're starting him and ranking him as the overall wide receiver one every single week, but he has a very shaky floor. So I'm with you. I'm pretty nervous this week against the Patriots.
Yeah, this is really, it's malpractice by the Minnesota Vikings, because you look at the receiver core, you look at anybody else, who are you afraid of? I mean, TJ Hockenson, they brought in, I think he's going to be a useful player, but are you afraid of him destroying your defense? No, you're not afraid of him doing any of that. You're afraid of Justin Jefferson. And then you have to hope that Kirk Cousins does Kirk Cousins things, which he does. If you just take him away, obviously defenses have figured out, if you put your number one corner on him, shade of safety or whatever you have to do, bracket him, it doesn't matter. Their offense, they're not afraid of anybody else. So this is a lot to do with, you know, Adam Thielen, who was a very good player for a very long time. Last couple seasons, injuries have really taken his toll on his ability to consistently create separation. Obviously, he's still a very good route runner. He doesn't have any more explosion after the catch, so he's essentially a possession receiver in an offense that needs explosion after the catch. If you're going to bracket two guys, you're going to have open space, or probably bracket one guy, you're going to have open space, and Minnesota can't really take advantage of that right now. So while, you know, I'm really worried about Justin Jefferson this week with Bill Belichick on the horizon, it's just malpractice. So I can't really fault him. Obviously, you can't fault him. It's not his fault that the Minnesota Vikings have just refused to add a ton of explosivity to their wide receiver room.
It's also Kirk Cousins, you know, despite the record, like, you know, they're winning games and, you know, Kirk Cousins is shirtless with the chains on the plane and everybody gets kind of blinded by that. But he's been playing the worst possible, you know, football of his life. I don't know if that's even an exaggeration at this point. I mean, maybe going back to like his rookie year, those years in Washington, but he's looked terrible this year. I mean, Kirk Cousins was a guy that I was pretty excited about this offseason, and he's just struggling week after week after week. Maybe we blame the NFL scheduler for not giving him as many early afternoon games, but man, it's been rough this year for Kirk.
You're not wrong. It's hard to watch him this year. It's really been hard to watch. And you might even say he's kind of an underdog, even though the Minnesota Vikings are favored in this game. I would actually think that the New England Patriots might be favored in this game. But as underdogs, like a lot of guys talk about underdog, the underdog, we all get in on best ball. We all do everything with the DFS. Underdog has all of that at your disposal. And with the code ASTRO, you can get a $100 match up to $100 in your first deposit with the code ASTRO. Make sure you're doing that. I have a ton of best ball lineups. I use their app every single weekend to get my DFS in, along with everything else that we do. So make sure you're going to do that and getting all of those $100 up to $100 deposit match on your first deposit. It's a great, really great thing. I know that Dave does some of his best work on best balls too. So
big fan this year, and my portfolio just keeps getting better seemingly every single week. You know, those Justin Fields, Cole Kmet, my two most rostered guys, and I was sweating through week three, but every single week I just see those winnings going up a little more every single week now.
Just a little bit. I dipped my toe in a little bit this year. It's not a ton, but we're seeing a little bit of early returns on. I only made three Best Ball Mania entries, and all three of them are second or first right now. So I'm pretty happy with that.
Congrats.
We'll see how it is by the end of the season. I got some injuries to deal with as we go forward, but that is best ball at its best. And that's going to bring us right into the Sunday slate of NFL games, because I honestly think we're starting to get into where, yeah, there's some unwatchable games, but now it's getting into November, December. We have real good football just about every single weekend, especially with division matchups coming up. And honestly, the Bengals at the Tennessee Titans might be one of my favorite matchups this weekend. And most people, obviously, Jamar Chase is returning to practice. He's not going to play this game. He's going to play against the Chiefs. That kind of always was going to be what happened. But the Bengals are 1.5-point favorites at Tennessee. I never understand the Tennessee Titans. They are one of the most frustrating, difficult to read, and you never really know what you're going to get teams in the NFL, but there's one consistent: they win football games. It doesn't matter how it happens. They're really well coached, and that defense is consistently one of the most well-coached units in the NFL. Hats off to Mike Vrabel. But with this defense, do you think the Bengals should be, I mean, not just that they should be favored, but how do you think that they're going to be able to move the ball against this Tennessee defense? But should they be favored in this game? I don't necessarily think they should be.
I mean, they're 7-2. I mean, we forget that this team was, they had a first-round bye just last year in the AFC. Yeah. I mean, in a very stout conference, this team just finds ways to win games. And, it's easy when you got a good offensive line and Derrick Henry. They're not they can play from behind, but if they get that early lead, good luck catching up to them, because they're going to grind the clock. They're going to make it really tough for you to, move the ball on offense, and they're just going to run it out with Derrick Henry. So, yeah, I'm with you. They're a frustrating team. They're a weird team, especially, with us kind of being in our fantasy football bubble and trying to talk about fantasy football. There really isn't much here besides Derrick Henry, and they're a very old school smash mouth football team, but it works and they win games. Yeah. And I think they should be favorites here because they're 7-2 and there's no reason to expect them not to win another one here.
Yeah, you've also got an emerging player in Treylon Burks, who we finally saw a little bit of a breakout last week. And down the field, that was the biggest thing coming out because they did get rid of A.J. Brown. They traded him to the Philadelphia Eagles, which obviously Jalen Hurts is very happy about. I think the Philadelphia entire fan base is very happy that he's there now as well. But there was a lot of talk about, could Treylon Burks fill that role? And I want people to understand that you can't just remove a player, take somebody else and expect the same kind of player production. Players are so different. And Burks, honestly, is a completely different player than A.J. Brown is. A.J. Brown's really a unicorn in terms of size, strength, route running ability, and yak. And you can't put expectations on a rookie who, again, in college, was an incredibly gifted player with the ball in his hands. But even his own coach called him a gimmick kind of player. Like they were just trying to scheme touches to him, like just to get him the ball. He's not the best route runner, but I think we're seeing some growth. Ball tracking down the field has been one of the areas where he's been inconsistent as well, much like a guy in Green Bay who's had some issues as well. He's taken some steps forward with touchdowns, but how do you feel about Treylon Burks the rest of the season in an offense that once again is commanded a ton of attention by Derrick Henry with this play action game? Is he going to continue to see this type of volume? And if he does, is he going to be a league winning type player?
I'm sorry, I might have misunderstood the question. Were you asking if Treylon Burks or Derrick Henry would be a league winning type?
I mean, I think we all know that Derrick Henry is, but yeah, how do you think Treylon Burks can be if this volume, if he sees more volume with the exposure that he's getting downfield?
Yeah, and I mean, you already talked about it. People make the comps to A.J. Brown all the time. And while the roles might be kind of similar, just being the wide receiver one on a run-first team, that's kind of where the comparisons stop. I mean, they're both big, they're both athletic, they're both fast, but they're very, very different types of football players. And I don't know what people expected, but they didn't spend a first-round pick on this guy just to give him jet sweeps and bubble screens. They had to hope that there was going to be some sort of step forward. And I think that Robert Woods has really been great with that, just being in the locker room to help mentor. Mm-hmm. You know, he's great at doing those sorts of things. So I think that's kind of helped him take that step forward a little bit. You know, labeling him a league-winning talent, that's a little tough just because you can throw that term out on so many people. And I just frankly don't think that they throw the ball enough for him to be a league winning talent. He's going to have these games like he did last week where he pulls 8 targets and he goes for 100 yards. You know, if he had a touchdown to boot, we'd be looking at a great week right there. But I don't know if you can count on that week in and week out. Like you said, A.J. Brown, similar, but a much better player, a more polished receiver. And even A.J. Brown would have his dud weeks. I mean, we were drafting this guy in the second and third round, and he would still leave a bad taste in your mouth frequently. So if we're looking at a less polished version of A.J. Brown on the same offense, it's pretty tough to say that he could be a league winner. If you've got two wide receivers that you're comfortable with, though, I think he's a great guy to plug into your flex because he could have some huge spike weeks. But unfortunately, just with the lack of volume in the passing game, he's unfortunately also going to have those weeks where he gets 3 targets, 1 catch, 11 yards, and you just got to live with that.
I'm glad you're on the same page with me because I know a lot of people don't really they see the blow-up games and they just assume that these rookies are eventually going to take those steps because this league, rookies are consistently scoring in not just the wide receivers, running backs. You're talking about a ton of different positional advantages that wide receivers coming in already know. Chris Olave, he's been incredible. He's been basically a veteran. Like, he knows how to run routes. He gets open. He understands soft zones and coverage. He understands everything. And even with the quarterback stuff going on in New Orleans, he's been a really productive player. And it's not always going to be that way. And unfortunately for Burks is that Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry are there. So he is a third wheel. He's waiting for Derrick Henry to kind of have a game where he can or maybe pop off with a deep ball. But yeah, I like Treylon Burks, what he could be. I'm hoping there's a really nice ceiling there. Unfortunately, he's in this limbo right now with Ryan Tannehill, an aging quarterback on an expiring expensive contract. You have Derrick Henry, who's also a unicorn like Travis Kelce is, that these guys just don't stop going. They just have one speed. They find it. They go for it. I was tweeting earlier this season that Derrick Henry looks toast. He does not look toast anymore. He didn't
start the year.
No, he did. Exactly. And that's the thing. I don't know what happened. It's like Derrick Henry. We all talk about
how he gets better every week, every single week. This happens every single year. He just gets better as the season progresses. Everyone else gets beat up and bruised, and he gets stronger.
It's so weird. It's like the game. Everyone talks about Derrick Henry. Just keep giving him his touches because in the fourth quarter, he's going to run people over and just keep getting touchdowns. That's what he's doing to the NFL season. It was like, okay, the first quarter was like that first 4 games, and he's like, okay, I got to get my legs under me. And now we're entering like that final stretch, and he just looks unstoppable. So I'm pretty blown away by what Derrick Henry's been able to do.
And what else, you know, we talked about Travis Kelce, you know, going back to the well next year and drafting Travis Kelce in the first round. Derrick Henry's a little bit different. Like, I faded Derrick Henry this year, I faded him last year, and, you know, I've got the wherewithal in season to switch up my take a little bit and say, all right, I'm going to start drafting this, or, you know, ranking this guy as a weekly top 3 running back. But I still, if he's got a first round price tag next year, I think I'm going to be out again. Like, you know, it's just, it's a matter of time. Running back is such a different position than a tight end. When this guy's getting 350, 400 touches in a season, it just makes me so nervous, and he can keep defying odds. But I think that, you know, I'm probably going to be out again next year, even if he finishes as the overall RB1 again this year. It just feels like a ticking time bomb. I mean, he has just defied the odds year after year after year.
That's what it is. And maybe he just kind of cut some wires to extend his time, because that seems like what he's doing right now. And I think I'm with you, because like you said, running back, it's so different. I know Derrick Henry he's essentially a linebacker mm-hmm. playing running back, and different body types handle different injuries differently. But I do think last year was the start. It was his first real injury, and then it did take him some time to get back into it. He's doing it now. But how long? What is the offseason going to hold for him? What is his body going to say? I don't think in redraft, like, I can say, yeah, I'm just going to take Derrick Henry like at the five. I can't do that to myself as much as I may want to. Like, that one more year. I don't know when it's going to be, but I think I'm with you. Let's talk a little bit about the Bengals, because again, they will be without Ja'Marr Chase. I do think somebody has to be the big surprise contributor for them to come out and win this game. I do think Joe Burrow is an excellent quarterback. T. Higgins, a good, probably a top 20 receiver in the NFL. I think that's probably within reason. You have Tyler Boyd as one of the best slot receivers in the NFL, but you're condensed with your talent on offense without Ja'Marr Chase. It limits what they can do explosivity-wise, because for everything that Boyd and Higgins are, they both have their limitations. And what unlocks not just the offense, but them, is Ja'Marr Chase. So who's going to be that guy that maybe steps up like a Samaje Perine did last week, scoring a bunch of touchdowns, receiving touchdowns? I was blown away, by the way. I had him on my bench in the leagues, and he's just sitting there with like 35 points. So who's it going to be this week?
Yeah, again, I had Samaje Perine on so many benches. He's a guy, because you want to have that backup running back.
You do.
But then you never start him. You know, it would have been the same thing, you know, if Dalvin Cook tweaks an ankle in the first quarter and Alexander Mattison goes in and goes nuts, he's going off on your bench because you're not starting him unless he gets the start. So beyond frustrating. But I think for this week, we talked a little bit about how the Titans just don't give up much at all on this defense. But one thing they really don't give up is the deep play. So I think that somebody's going to have to be able to work underneath a little bit. And I can see Hayden Hurst being that guy. You know, Hayden Hurst isn't a world beater by any mm-hmm. means, but he's been solid this year, giving you a shockingly high floor week to week. Yes. He's actually pulling 5.1 targets per game, which is the same that Greg Dulcich and Dalton Schultz are getting. But for some reason, you know, people haven't been getting hyped up about Hayden Hurst. And then you look, the Titans are giving up the eighth most points to fantasy tight ends. So I think with, you know, it makes things a little bit trickier without Ja'Marr Chase. I would actually prefer Hayden Hurst in this matchup if they had Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah. To kind of
pull the defense back a little bit. It's going to be a little bit harder for him to get those underneath routes without anybody to really have, give a deep threat for the Bengals. But if I had to pick one player outside of T. Higgins to really step up in this matchup, I'm going with Hayden Hurst.
I think you kind of have to. It's tough because I want to take Boyd. I really do. I want to take Tyler Boyd as the guy that steps up. I just don't know which Tyler Boyd's going to show up, what targets he's going to get. And that's something that Joe Burrow kind of has had to deal with without Ja'Marr Chase, is figuring out who's getting the targets. Also, we have to keep an eye on Joe Mixon's status. I don't know exactly what's going on with his injury. Obviously, we're recording this on Tuesday, so we have almost no insight as to what's going to happen with his injuries. Make sure you're looking on Wednesday to see if he's practicing, if he's limited, because I do think in this game, if Perine ends up having to get more involved as a passing option, because the Titans, in my opinion, have the best rush defense in the NFL. I don't think it's really up for question. It's not going to be about what Joe Mixon or Perine do on the ground. It's about what they do in the passing game. And these linebackers are very good, but I do think that he can get targeted enough to can help your fantasy lineup. So if it ends up being that Joe Mixon ends up missing this game, I think Perine could have similar impact in the passing game, because again, you do think that at this point, Hayden Hurst is getting some targets at least, so he can command some attention. Maybe you can find a way as the Bengals to get Perine involved more in the passing game. And he's been relatively really good in the passing game over the course of his career.
I hate to even say it, but Perine looks just as good as Joe Mixon has this year. Joe Mixon is just
shining away from
contact. He's dancing and not doing what he should. And Perine is just catching the ball and moving forward. I mean, you can almost make an argument that the offense looked better last week with Perine. Mm-hmm.
I don't disagree. And if you take out, obviously, the one, you can say this, by the way, you can say this about just about anybody who has a blowout game. If you take out Joe Mixon's 5+ touchdown game, I'm with you. I think they're the same player this year. So it's been tough. But yeah, so Perine can do it. I think overall, I'm going to stick with Boyd. I think Boyd has a huge impact in this game. Again, Higgins, covered up deep, but you can start hitting some deep digs and crossers over the middle of the field. I think that's where you want to attack this defense anyway. You can't do it downfield, so you got to find ways to scheme up some openings underneath those safeties, and I think that Boyd can do that. Another game that we're going to talk about, Baltimore Ravens are 3.5-point favorites at the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't know about you, but this kind of seems really fun to me. Even after the I don't really know the word to describe the Baltimore Ravens offense against the Carolina Panthers last week. That game was probably one of the most disgusting things outside of the Jets Patriots in the same week that we had these offensive performances that the Lamar Jackson and the I don't know. It honestly, it was a smash
week. It was supposed to be a smash week for
Lamar. It was. And when you have your leading receiver, DeMarcus Robinson, what's going on? Are the Ravens in trouble offensively? Like, how much trouble are they in? Are we talking Lamar as, honestly, I had Lamar ranked the fourth best quarterback this season. Right now, this offense is not doing him any favors. And unfortunately, with a looming contract extension on the horizon, do you think that's impacting him at all?
I don't know what's going on, man. And you know, I had Lamar as my number two guy, and I don't even know if you can put him as a top five quarterback going into this week. I saw somebody tweet today. You know, you see those stats every once in a while. You're like, no way is that true. And then you look it up and it's true. Lamar Jackson hasn't finished above QB9 since week three. I mean, the majority of the season, he has been a liability in your fantasy lineup. And he had those two huge blow-up weeks. You know, week two, week three, we thought, this is it. The old Lamar Jackson is back, and it just hasn't happened ever since. And I think you can blame a lot of that to injuries. You know, Ronnie Staley, he's been getting knocked in and out of games, it seems like, every single week. You know, he's missing some snaps here and there. Obviously, J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, Marquise Brown was traded away. He's not on the team anymore. Rashad Bateman on IR. I mean, he has lost every single integral piece of that offense. So you can't completely blame it on him. It's just been a weird year, frankly. You know, you look at the overall numbers on the season and his yards per game, both rushing and passing, are very similar. He's got a better touchdown rate and a better interception rate than he did last year. So if you look just at the box score, he is technically improved from last year, but so much of that came early in the season. And then once those injuries started piling up, it has just been downhill ever since. So, yeah, I mean, you're not benching Lamar Jackson ever. No. And if there ever was an opportunity to get right, it's probably against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I think that you got to start him this week and keep riding and hoping that he can bounce back. But without a lot of pieces to help on offense, there's definitely some concern there. And he doesn't have that high floor that we're so accustomed to seeing from him.
Yeah. Again, this comes back to a lot of what I talked about earlier with explosivity. The Vikings don't have anything outside of Justin Jefferson. So they take it away, and what does your offense do? I mean, Dalvin Cook is Dalvin Cook, but at the end of the day, he's not a receiver, and you have to be able to use him to attack down the field. The Baltimore Ravens, outside of Lamar Jackson, there's nothing. I know Kenyon Drake has wheels when he gets into open space, but he's got to get there. And right now, their offensive line, like you said, with Ronnie Stanley continuously, almost every single week, like you're talking about, he's like getting hurt. Coming in, coming out. Their offensive line's banged up. They have a center that they drafted out of Iowa who's a really, really small guy, not really holding up. This offensive line's not been able to keep Lamar Jackson clean and allow him in the running game to attack down the field with, you know, Mark Andrews coming back last week. I think Isaiah Likely should be used more as a receiver in this offense now, right now. Isaiah Likely is your most explosive player outside of Mark Andrews. You got to use him a little bit more, especially if you're trying to take some of the pressure off of Lamar Jackson with an offensive line that hasn't been great battling injuries. So, yeah, they need to find a way to get right and get Lamar Jackson some help.
Put Likely out wide and put Duvernay in the slot and then keep Mark Andrews at tight end. That seems like it makes the most sense because you can't keep relying on DeMarcus Robinson to be the team's wide receiver one. That's just outlandish.
As someone who watched him for the last 5 years, no, you can't. I didn't ever think he would get targeted that much ever in his career. And the fact that he did kind of shows you the dire straits that the Ravens offense is in. So
the big news is Dobbins will be back at some point. And then I think now with these big guys, you know, getting cut from the, not that they're great all-world talents by any means, but Melvin Gordon, he cleared waivers, and it seems like the Baltimore Ravens are just a safe haven for all these aging running backs. They always bring them in. So it wouldn't shock me to see Melvin Gordon or Daryl Henderson land there, and hopefully getting, you know, just somebody new on the in the running game can help open things up for Lamar a bit.
Watch Melvin Gordon go to Baltimore and not fumble. Watch that happen. Like, that would be that'd be perfect. That'd be perfect. Except he's, you know, he's gonna fumble a lot. I know that he's mad about the fumbles, but I mean, dude, what are you gonna do at this point? It's
at
it's
the goal
hard
line.
To...
When I saw that happen, the ball came out of the goal line, and I was like, well, Melvin Gordon's done in Denver.
You know, some TVs got smashed. You know, some TVs got smashed. Off a bye, the Jacksonville Jaguars seemingly are in a pretty decent spot. I know that the Ravens defense has had their ups and downs. But right now, there are some things you could do in the passing department. Hopefully, you can keep your quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, healthy. But is this a good spot to play Trevor Lawrence in this week? Obviously, you have other options for the most part if Lawrence is on your roster. Do you want to play him this week against Baltimore?
I just don't know if you can. I mean, last time you and I did a show together, Daniel, I don't know if you remember, it was right after week three.
Oh, I
and,
remember.
The term that I used was surgical, that Trevor Lawrence had looked surgical the week before, dropped 31 points, looked incredible. And then what did he do? He came out the next 2 weeks against Philly and Houston and looked absolutely terrible. And I was looking through his game log today. I mean, it seems like this guy either has like above 25 or less than 10 points every single week. I mean, he is as boom or bust as they come at the quarterback position. And you see that in his game too. Some days he comes out and he looks like Peyton Manning, and other times he comes out and he looks like Zach Wilson. You never really know what Trevor Lawrence you're going to get. So I think right now, I don't know if you can really start him because the Ravens defense isn't great, but they're going to be, you know, they're a pretty formidable defense. So I don't think that he's going to have one of these big spike weeks. I mean, you know, I feel like when you have these boomer bust wide receiver or these boomer bust quarterbacks, what you really want are those huge spike weeks. Like, you know, we're talking about Lamar Jackson. He's been playing a little bit quiet, but you know that when he has his big week, he's going to give you 45, 50 points. That's the same reason people were still starting Justin Fields. It's the reason people were starting Jalen Hurts last year. You want those huge spike weeks. And right now, Trevor Lawrence's biggest spike week has been 31 points. So, you know, you're playing a boom or bust guy that doesn't really have a huge boom potential. And when he does bust, he's a massive liability in your lineup. So, you know, I still think that Trevor Lawrence has all the skills to be a great quarterback. But at least for the rest of this year, it's pretty tough to trust him in a fantasy lineup.
I don't disagree with that. I think that in Superflex, you're definitely not going to be,
of course,
your number one, but you're gonna play him because, again, the ceiling is there. Coming out of a bye, I'm more likely to play to play Trevor Lawrence specifically because Doug Peterson is no fool. Okay, I think that he understands, much like his mentor Andy Reid, how to come out of a bye with a really good game plan against a defense that is good schematically, sound schematically, that has some speed to get all over the field. And I do think that getting the ball out of Trevor Lawrence's hands quickly is the best way to go about this offense for the week, because I mean, holding onto the football typically gets quarterbacks hit anyway. And Trevor Lawrence is one of those guys that when I watch him and he's holding onto the football, he is looking for a hole the size of a quarter to fit that ball into. And that's when, against teams like the Ravens, turnovers happen. So the ball, I think, is going to come out pretty quickly. They're going to use Travis Etienne, Evan Ingram a little bit more in the passing game this week, in my opinion. Speaking of Travis Etienne, this has been what everyone wanted when Travis Etienne was drafted. Trade away James Robinson. Let him be the bell cow. How are you treating Travis Etienne going forward? Not even just this week, but I mean, if you look at the way that they played against the Chiefs, you were like, hey, this is a smash spot for Travis Etienne. Kind of dudded that week and against a pretty bad, bad run defense in Kansas City, by the way. It's not very good. How are you looking at Trevor Lawrence?
I'm not concerned about that. Look at that as one little blip. You know, I'm not getting too worried about it. I think Travis Etienne is a top five running back for the rest of the season. And if you look, since James Robinson has been traded away, he's top five in per game scoring. The only guys scoring more points than Travis Etienne since the James Robinson trade are Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey, Joe Mixon, and funny enough, Tony Pollard, who is the RB1 over that stretch. Yep. I mean, just going absolutely nuclear right now. But yeah, I mean, we talked about Travis Etienne last time we did a show together as well, and I'm a big fan of Travis Etienne. This is exactly what we wanted to see. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of funny to say this considering he is coming off of his first dud game of the season, but I think he's pretty much game script proofed. I mean, he didn't have the most efficient game and he didn't get in the end zone against the Kansas City Chiefs, which really hurt his fantasy output, but he was still getting the touches. And you know that those touches are pretty much guaranteed for Travis Etienne because when they're up, he is their running back, and they're going to hand the ball off to him, and he's going to accumulate his points on the ground. And when they're down, then he gets really involved as a pass catcher. So it really doesn't matter what happens with the Jags. You know, you got some other guys that are very talented that can get phased out of games really quickly. You're never going to get that with Travis Etienne. Regardless of what's happening, they're going to manufacture touches to get him the ball. So I love Travis Etienne. I don't know if you've seen, but recently he just moved up to the RB1 spot on Keep Trade Cut, where he is the dynasty RB1 now. And I think that's more of just a commentary on how the top seven dynasty running backs you can all kind of shuffle together. Yeah. But I mean, he's a young workhorse running back, which is a very rare find in fantasy football. I think he's top five for the rest of the season.
I don't disagree. He's top five for the rest of the season. I think I will pass on him being the dynasty RB1 myself. I have my own concerns about Travis Etienne, the player, but again, it doesn't necessarily matter about the player as
is
much
just because he's an ugly runner. I mean, that's what it is, right? Like, he's just got like wild legs when he runs. I don't know how to describe it. He is just a weird looking dude when he runs the ball.
There was I was in track and field when I was in high school, and I was a sprinter as a 6'5 guy who is now 270 pounds. I don't know how I was ever a sprinter, but there was a guy that when he ran, it looked like his legs were C's. Like, it looked like, I don't understand how to describe how awkward it looked, but it kind of is how Travis Etienne runs, in the sense where his feet they like duck waddle out when he plants his feet, and that for injury purposes that does tend to lead more towards injury. But that's not why I'm worried about Travis Etienne. I have more questions about his interior vision, which is the big reason that Jamal Williams is in Detroit, because they don't like DeAndre Swift running the ball between the tackles. He sees, he doesn't even see. It's like he's got blinders on sometimes. But again, it's about volume. If Jamal Williams isn't in Detroit, guess what? DeAndre Swift and Travis Etienne are almost the same kind of player, in my opinion, in terms of how they're being utilized. So I don't care so much about the vision issues. Right now, he has a workhorse path the rest of the season. So I'm with you there on Travis Etienne. Again, we'll see how next season goes. I know Doug Peterson likes his running backs. Don't be surprised if they draft another one. Don't be surprised.
And it'll probably be that James Robinson prototype, the guy that can really pound him between the tackles. Yeah, I'm completely with you. Wouldn't shock me one bit.
Absolutely will be. But I like this matchup. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I think Baltimore, coming off really, really bad taste in their mouth offensively, can get something going against Jacksonville. And I hope Doug Peterson – I don't hope. I know Doug Peterson will have a good plan offensively coming out of the bye. And that gets us to – the last game that we're going to talk about on the Sunday slate, Chargers and Cardinals. This is I'm hoping the only reason it's on here is because I'm going to assume that Kyler's back, and I'm going to assume that the guys that are hurt in Arizona do play in this game. But this is kind of like a matchup of two, what they could have been teams. Mm-hmm. If you look coming into this season, I mean, everyone was ready to give the Chargers their flowers. Like, this was all right, Justin Herbert's taking that step. They got the team. They spent the money. Let's go. They're 5-5 now. And the Cardinals are, they're a bad team. Like, it's not good. But offensively, they do have a lot of, like 3 weeks ago, I was starting three Cardinals players on one team. I was starting three of them, and that's how much of the offense was getting, you know, condensed and solidified into that much people running more.
I wonder if it was the same three I had. I had Kyler Murray, Zach Ertz, and Hollywood Brown to start the season, and I was starting all three of them with confidence.
See, 3 weeks ago, it was DeAndre Hopkins, it was Zach Ertz, and it was Rondale Moore. Because Rondale Moore, he was getting the touches and everything like that, so that was a lot of fun until I traded away, you know. I actually am trying to trade away DeAndre Hopkins, and then Zach Ertz got hurt. So it's obviously derailed since then. But do you think we're going to get the Justin Herbert and the, more importantly, the offensive game plan to throw the ball down the damn field against the Cardinals that we saw against the Chiefs? It feels like, and again, I watch a ton of Chargers film, a ton of Chargers games. It feels like against the Chiefs, they want to throw the ball down the field. But every other team, they're just like, no, we don't really want to do that. So do you think we're going to get that after a little bit of a taste of it against Sunday Night Football against the Chiefs?
Well, I think Justin Herbert, you know, so much has been made of injuries to everybody on the team. Mm-hmm. Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Gerald Everett. People have been talking about that. That I think the injury to Justin Herbert was overlooked by so many people. I mean, this guy was playing through broken,
rib cartilage,
I believe. Whatever it was, you could tell that it was a painful injury. Justin Herbert was not himself. Mm-hmm. And it seems like people just kind of forget about that. And I think that that's why the play calling was so anemic. I mean, you look at those game charts. He wasn't throwing the ball more than 12 yards downfield. I mean, they were just throwing to the sidelines, 10 to 12 yards downfield, nothing more than that. And then I think it was the game against San Francisco 2 weeks ago. It was the first time that I saw Justin Herbert start to look like himself again. Mm-hmm. And that game, playing against such a strong San Francisco defense, I think that they purposely kind of set the game plan to be a little bit more conservative. They knew they weren't going to be able to get those big booming plays against San Francisco. But then last week, going up against, sorry to say it, Daniel, but a pretty soft secondary, that's why they finally started taking those deep shots again. So I think the offense is back. I think Justin Herbert is back. I think that he's been back for the last 2 weeks. It's just that he had a really tough matchup against San Francisco, so he didn't really see it fully unleashed. Also didn't have all of his pass catches in that game. But now it's looking like Mike Williams might have a setback, you know, re-aggravating a high ankle sprain typically isn't something you want to hear. But Keenan Allen looked like his old self. Gerald Everett is assumed to be back. Austin Eckler is still doing Austin Eckler things. So I think that we see Justin Herbert, you know, creep back into that elite fantasy territory. Unfortunately, at this point, you know, so many trade deadlines have already passed, but mm-hmm. if you still have a trade, if your trade deadline hasn't hit yet, I think Justin Herbert is one of the guys that you should be trying to acquire more than anybody else in fantasy football.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And honestly, it hurts me that, and that not because I don't like the player. Austin Eckler was a guy that I faded early in the season. Like before the season, I was not drafting Austin Eckler at all. I don't have any of them. And it wasn't so much just regression. It was utilization as well. I'm in the utilization because the running backs behind him have been hurt and not very good. He's just gotten all that volume again, and now I'm looking like an idiot because Austin Eckler is the RB1 on the season, so that's awesome. Thanks, Austin. I'm glad for you. I'm glad you're having a great season. I know you have, like, three of yourself wherever you drafted yourself, so that's awesome. Glad for your fantasy teams. But Allen comes back in this game against Kansas City. They said they had him on a snap count. I'm a little less sure they actually planned on having him on the snap count. Maybe if they're still up nearly 10 points going into the fourth quarter, he doesn't play. But Mike Williams, the injury did impact his playing time, in my opinion. But he looked exactly like what he's so good at, finding soft spots in zones, getting open on anybody, finding any ways to get open. I really think that his return, like you talked about, will help not only Justin Herbert get some of these easy throws. And I also the last weeks before Williams and Allen came back, Josh Palmer was his number one receiver. That's not doing him any favors. I know there's a lot of people that are very high on Joshua Palmer. And again, he came through again on Sunday Night Football with a bomb and then another touchdown later in the game. But he's not a great route runner. He's not a great separator. He benefits from a little bit of volume, and then having Keenan Allen on the field does give you all that much more attention to Keenan Allen. And then, again, like you said, Chiefs secondary is young. It's very young, starting three rookie corners and really young guys in the safeties as well. So he's got all that, but he didn't have any of the weapons around. And I agree with you that he looks healthy. That ball, there were some insane throws that he made on Sunday Night Football that only, you know, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen make. So I really am with you that he's back. This is prime time. You're in dynasty leagues. Hopefully dynasty leagues don't have trade deadlines. I don't think they should personally. I don't think it makes any sense to have a dynasty league and then have a trade deadline. Like, we're going to have these guys next year, right? I want to start trading them out. Let's figure something out. Let's get over a little bit to the Cardinals side, because a little bit of bright spots with Trey McBride last on Monday Night Football, a little bit of targets that they were seeing, a little bit of utilization there from Colt McCoy, assuming that Kyler Murray comes back in this game. How are you feeling about Trey McBride rest of season, considering, you know, Zach Ertz is not in this lineup anymore?
So, you know, I'm from Fort Collins, Colorado State University is out here. I was lucky enough to, you know, get invited to the pro day, and I got to meet Trey McBride. Nice. Great guy, super nice kid. You know, wishing him all the best, but
humble brag.
I just don't think it's gonna happen this year in fantasy, man. Yeah. You know, we know about the learning curve for tight ends going from the college to the NFL. And I just don't think that we're going to see it happen this year. You know, him getting thrusted into a full-time role mid-season. But really, you know, I thought the trade last year for Zach Ertz was kind of weird because the air raid offense doesn't typically utilize a tight end all that much. So for them to go out and draft Zach Ertz and then to trade for Zach Ertz and then to use a premium draft pick this year, I believe it was their first pick, right? Because they didn't have a first round pick. So I think they had, they used on Trey McBride. I just don't really understand it all that much. And then even last week, you know, on Sunday, we saw him get targeted four times. But what did he do with those targets? 14 yards. No. I don't really know if there's a whole lot here. So sure. I mean, we're talking tight end here. At the end of the day, sure, you can stream Trey McBride, but really the difference between like tight end 8 and tight end 30, there really isn't much of a difference. So, you know, if you're in that Hayden Hurst, Gerald Everett, you know, Trey McBride area with your tight end, you can roll him out there, but realistically, he falls outside of the top 20 for me, unless I'm in multiple tight end leagues, which I am in a few of those and do not recommend them to anybody. That's the only way that I'd really be even thinking about looking at Trey McBride for the rest of this season.
That sounds like so much fun. I love tight end position, even though it's a wasteland for fantasy. I would love to do a multiple tight end league. I think I might do that next year, start up one for myself. So what you're telling me is Max Williams is the guy you want, honestly. He's got a rapport with Kyler Murray. That's what you're telling me. It's not Trey McBride.
I don't think you want Max Williams either. I think that it's going to be Hollywood Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, Rondale Moore. All those guys are going to be, you know, guys you're starting every single week. Obviously James Conner when he is healthy, but there's just nobody else that really intrigues me all that much. Robbie Anderson, I don't even know if he's on the team anymore. I mean, he is just a complete ghost. I don't know what they were thinking making a move for him. I just don't think that Max Williams or Trey McBride are really going to find a ton of opportunities here. Keontae Ingram doesn't have much value unless there's an injury. I think, you know, you talked about it, how consolidated this offense is. I think that those three guys, DeAndre Hopkins, Hollywood Brown, and Rondale Moore, are really the only guys that you're going to feel comfortable starting in this offense.
And then assuming that Rondale Moore comes back, if he doesn't, you got Dortch the Torch coming back. Yeah. And honestly,
I mean, that's just free money. Just bet on a Dortch touchdown every single week, and it's going to hit more often than it won't.
Greg Dortch is so much better than Cliff Kingsbury thinks he is. I can't stand it. Just because Rondale Moore's back doesn't mean you can't use Greg Dortch, okay? Draw up plays for him. The dude can make – Monday Night Football should show you that he should be getting touches. That dude was an explosion out of a cannon on that touchdown. Like, that was it was awesome to see. Just use him. Just use him a little bit. You don't have to consolidate the offense. Obviously, it's great for me because I have a ton of DeAndre Hopkins because I knew this was coming. And then I do think that he and Hollywood Brown can survive. I think that's what everyone wants to see. Unfortunately for the Cardinals, Kyler Murray as well, as soon as DeAndre Hopkins comes back, Hollywood Brown has an injury. I think hopefully this week we get to see them both on the field. And that's the offense that I think can hang with the Chargers, is when those guys are on the field, even with the offensive line. I saw it on Monday Night Football. They've had the most combinations of offensive line in the NFL, trying to figure out what they're going to do up front. That's what this comes down to for me, is Kyler comes back, you get Hollywood Brown back, you have him with DeAndre Hopkins. That seems like an offense that, even though the team isn't very good on the opposite side, they can start to hang a little bit with an offense like the Chargers, a team like the Chargers, can start to put up points. So I think that this game could be brewing. It could be a pretty high-scoring affair if everyone comes back and they're healthy and look decent. Before we get going, there is one – I do want to talk a little bit about James Conner, because this is a weird situation for me. I think I was drafting a little bit of James Conner, but the offensive line's been a problem. And obviously they released Eno Benjamin, right? The guy that they touted all offseason as no problem. He can be the dude. We want him taking more snaps anyway. How do you feel about James Conner?
I mean, I can't get all that excited about him, but the volume is there, and you can't argue against the volume. You know, he's had 70 plus snaps every single week. I don't know what happened 2 weeks ago when they were facing off against the Rams. He saw a 96% snap share. I mean, he didn't come off the field. And if you're on a high scoring offense and you're getting 70 plus percent of the snaps, you got to keep trotting him out there. And, you know, he's not all that talented at this point in his career, and no fault of his own. I mean, he's just had so many injuries that they've clearly taken a toll on his body. But at the end of the day, he's a lead back on a pretty good offense. So you just got to keep plugging him in every single week. But he's one of those guys that just has a really, really shaky floor because I don't think he has it in his bag of tricks anymore that he can rip off a big play. So you're pretty much hoping that he scores, because once he gets into the secondary, he's getting chased down by just about anybody on the field.
Anybody. And he's like stiff. He stands up. He does not have much knee bend anymore. He just runs straight up, and if he gets tackled, he gets tackled. He's not really playing those games anymore. I
really like Keyonte Ingram. I would like to see Ingram getting a little bit more touches. We'll see. I think, you know, James Conner is so much better at what he does, you know, being creative in the passing game and things like that. But if you're looking for somebody to just pick up those hard yards in between the tackles, I think Keyonte Ingram can do that better than James Conner can right now.
I liked a little bit of his USC tape. He just never really excited me. He seems like a really good player, like a jack of all trades kind of guy, and I'm fine with that. So I would like to see, again, don't just make James Conner be a 90% guy. He can't really do that. So utilize them both. I think that would be good. But the last two games we talked about, I think both of those could turn into blow up. So if you guys are trying to play DFS, I think those are two options for you. I don't want to touch the Bengals Titans game for DFS. I don't think that sounds like any fun at all. There's also going to be some more. So if you're interested in getting my opinion specifically, you guys can get in the Fantasy Football Astronauts Discord. We have a film room channel. We talk about all this kind of stuff. You guys want those opinions, come get on me at Twitter at InHarmsWay19 or Jetpack at Jetpack Galileo on Twitter. We'll get you guys into the Fantasy Football Astronauts Discord. Thank you so much for joining me today, Dave. I appreciate you taking some time out of the schedule that you have, which is crazy. Just let me tell you guys, it's crazy. You fit me in. I appreciate it. Let everyone know where they can find you again and what you're working on.
Yeah, real simply, you can find me on Twitter at Dave Kluge. That's Kluge. All of my written and video content can be found at Football Guys. And then the one show that I love to plug is The Launchpad. You can check that out on Fridays. Daniel, I had you and Matt Waldman on just a few weeks ago. Amazing show. You know, had a lot of fun linking up with both of you guys. But be sure to check that out. You can, anywhere you're listening to podcast, you can find The Launchpad.
I recommend as well, not only because he had me on, because it was a lot of fun to listen to talk to, and it's just a really, really well done show. So I appreciate you all being with me this week. Once again, make sure you guys have a great Thanksgiving. This is going to be a lot of fun. We all get to watch football and just spend time with our families. Have a great Thanksgiving. We'll see you guys next time. This is the Fantasy Football Astronauts Podcast, and we are blasting off again.